Today on the Trending 55 hot seat, we are with possibly the most powerful man in the Alberta legislature, His Honourable Nathan Cooper, the Speaker of the Legislative Assembly and also the MLA for Olds, Didsbury, Three Hills. Mr. Speaker, first off, thank you for being here today. It's great to have you.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure to be here in studio in the hot seat with you. I've heard so much about the hot seat. I'm a little bit nervous, but I think we'll make it through.
How could you be nervous? I mean, you have to deal with 87 different MLAs every day and when the session is on. And sometimes things can get a little tense out there. So I guess one of the big questions I have for you, and that is that you're not only the Speaker of the House, but you're also, as you mentioned, you're an MLA. So the big question I have is that if you're a speaker and you have a question for a minister, how do you ask it?
Well, that is a very good question, and one that regularly gets asked. And you say, you make a bit of a joke about me. How could I be nervous when I'm taking care of 87 other MLAs? I sometimes joke that I say, when I'm not at home parenting my three children, Porter, Paxton, and Peyton, I'm in Edmonton parenting 86 other members of the legislature. And but, you know, lots of people ask me that. How is it possible that you can represent your constituents and still be the speaker? There's a lot of ways to get things done in Edmonton, and a lot of ways that we can represent our constituents that don't actually happen inside the assembly. And so one of the great things about being the speaker is it's kind of like being the principal in some respects. Like when I call MLA Dan Williams, your MLA here, he sees my name come up on his phone and he's like, ah, the speaker's calling. Something bad must be happening. So he picks up, and that's the same. The great thing about being the speaker is you have a really wonderful opportunity to build relationships both with members of cabinet, members of the government caucus, and members of the opposition caucus as well.
All right. And in kind of saying that, too, I found one thing real interesting is that in the legislature, the House of Commons, and I'm assuming that the parliament rules and legislature rules are 100% the same, pretty much.
Very similar. But each legislature is actually the master of its own domain. So we set out our own rules called standing orders. And those rules are actually like my Bible, if you will, that I apply when it comes to making sure that the rules are applied equally to both sides.
Now, this is one I was interesting because I became a question period buff during lockdown, no sports. So you know what? Question period became the next fun thing to watch. And I really get into it. And I have to say that watching you, you are really passionate. You are really into it. You get really excited about it. And yet at the same time, I've seen some speakers that can be pretty tough when they have to discipline somebody. With one thing I noticed, your method, you get up and you have a little bit of a smile on your face. And sometimes it almost feels like you feel a little bit bad being a disciplinarian at times. Do you actually feel bad, or is it just got to be done?
Well, it has to be done. And I think that there are times and place for each methods of discipline, if you will, inside the assembly. Sometimes a little light-hearted humor can really inject and some levity can break the tension. But other times, dealing with certain members, I have to crack out my dad voice from time to time, and I'm not afraid to use it. But just like my dad, he saved those occasions for when, you know, when he was like, Nathan, Matthew, Cooper, you know, then you really knew you were in trouble. And so I try to use a bit of humor, a little bit of levity to get to where we need to be. But at the end of the day, the speaker sometimes does have to bring down the hammer, and I have done that on occasion.
All right. And I guess one thing that I kind of find interesting is that, and this is actually something I did not know, and it was when a member of the opposition had used the term Jason Kenney in his UCP caucus twice during member statements. And I understand that using a name in the legislature in the House is not parliamentarian. But in saying that, though, if somebody were to say, for example, Premier Kenney, Minister Schweitzer, Member Williams, for example, is that permitted?
Yeah, you know, that isn't permitted. And one of the reasons is we have a lot of unique sort of traditions and rules. And the reason why we don't use names is, first of all, it helps depersonalize the debate. But perhaps more importantly than that is when MLA Williams speaks on behalf of the people of Peace River, he's actually not speaking as Dan or as Mr. Williams. He's speaking as the people that he represents. And so that's why we call each other by our official titles, the member for Peace River, the member for Edmonton Glenora, because they aren't actually themselves. And now the only time that the speaker would actually use their name is when they have committed the ultimate sin, if you will.
Uh-oh.
And that is when they are in serious trouble with the speaker. And I've provided them warnings. I've said, you know, you're breaking the rules. And then eventually, if they refuse to apologize or refuse to change their behavior, then I'll actually call them by their name, which is like the ultimate insult, because they've behaved so poorly inside the assembly that the people of Peace River or wherever they represent would be so disappointed with them that I might say, the member, Mr. Jason Nixon,
yep,
will leave the chamber. And so it's like the ultimate shaming. And we actually call it someone gets named. And they have to remove themselves from the chamber.
So that's what that term means.
That is exactly what it means. And they have gone so far beyond the pale of what it would mean to be a good member and represent their people that they couldn't possibly represent their people like that. Their only interest is themselves at that time. And of course, for a public servant or a member of an assembly or a parliament, our goal is to represent the people. And sometimes our personal feelings get in the way of that, and then the speaker has to intervene.
How much of a challenge is that, though? Because you're obviously a member as well of the UCP caucus. So how challenging is it sometimes to keep that impartial balance that is critical to our democratic institutions? That's got to be a challenge.
Yeah, well, it certainly is a challenge because, of course, I have strong, passionate feelings about decisions that the government is making. But I also have an incredible amount of commitment and respect for the strength of our democracy, justice, freedom, and ensuring that those things can continue. The legislature, our democracy, is much bigger than Premier Kenney. It's much bigger than the leader of the opposition. It's much bigger than any one member. It's much bigger than the speaker as well. It is hundreds of years steeped in tradition that fundamentally house our most democratic freedoms. And so the speaker has a very important role in ensuring that those things are upheld. And so I take my role as a nonpartisan deliverer of our democracy very seriously, helping people understand, connect them to our democracy. It's one of the reasons why I'm here in Peace River today. I'm heading up to Rainbow Lake tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Because I have a real strong commitment to try to reach out to community and cultural groups and have them understand and be educated just a little bit about the importance of our democracy, justice, the strength of our institutions. And I'm not sure if you've seen any of my videos on Facebook, but
mm-hmm,
you can check out. I do these 1 minute little sort of primers on process or on interesting things that have been happening inside the assembly.
Including that, too, and I remember seeing on Twitter the parliamentarian plant. You guys have a plant in there that's steeped in tradition.
Yeah, exactly right. There's lots of very neat things inside the chamber. There's actually a plant that sits between the premier and the leader of the opposition that in Alberta has actually been in the assembly since the first time that it's recorded, someone mentions it. Speaker Dawson mentions taking the parliamentary plant to his office to preserve it. But the initial traditions of the parliamentary plant is one member asked for a plant to be put between them and the other side on the table so that they wouldn't have to see that lying, and I hope people excuse the crassness, but that lying bastard's face across from them. And so the tradition still remains the same, that it's sitting there on the assembly table, and in fact, when we're not in session, it sits in my office. So
it's well cared for.
Yes, yeah, Speaker of the Assembly and Defender of the Parliamentary Plant, I think, is what I'm going to get on my business card next.
You know what? I'd love to see that card when it comes out. I also now as well, I have seen that you are a bit of a Calgary Flames fan as well. So in saying that, though, I mean, my Montreal Canadiens, your Flames on to the next round. Dan Williams, Edmonton Oilers sitting. Yeah, sorry, Dan, I had to go there. He's kind of nodding and shaking his head a little bit. But I always kind of like to throw out the random non-political questions out here. How are you feeling about the Stars and Flames?
I'm super, super stoked about this. I my absolute 100% most favorite meme on the internet right now is the reminder to Oilers fans that the Calgary Flames were the very first team to win an NHL playoff series in the Rogers Place. So it's a real, real, real sense of pride for us in Southern Alberta. I know as the speaker, I represent the entire province, but that doesn't mean that I have to lay my hockey allegiance aside. I think that we're in a really, or the Flames are in a really great position in the first round, and kind of like when they went on a significant run in the past, I think that there's a very good chance that we can rally around. If we get the goaltending we need, which can sometimes be a little bit touch and go, if we get the goaltending we need, I think that we're in with a chance for a long run here. And I cannot think of anything sweeter than seeing the Flames hoist the cup in downtown Edmonton after all those first-round draft picks. And I'm sure I'm not making too many friends here in the Peace region and in northern Alberta, but my Flames ties lie deep.
And that's fair. That's fair. I mean, I'm a Montreal fan, so I stay out of the Battle of Alberta. I can literally be an impartial observer of that. But
you're basically the speaker of the Battle of Alberta, then.
I am the speaker of the Battle of Alberta, Mr. Speaker. I do appreciate that. And also as well, I know that there's one thing, and if Dan wants to comment on it too, Dan had given us a statement about the oil and gas situation. And in saying that, though, I think it's important for us to know is that even though it's in the discussion phases, that's where it is. It's in the discussion phases. I understand that no decisions have been made. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, 100%. And, listen, I represent a very rural riding of of our province. I sometimes joke with members, how do you know if you are a rural MLA or an urban MLA? And the answer lies in, if there's no Starbucks in the entire constituency, that makes you a rural MLA. And that's certainly the case for Olds, Didsbury, Three Hills. And I know that I've heard from lots of municipalities who are certainly concerned about some of the proposed changes. But there has been no discussion around this since 2005. I think it's an important time that we have the discussion. And it's also important that members of the Assembly hear from constituents their concerns. I know Dan and I were actually at lunch just an hour ago and had a good discussion with a constituent about this very issue, and two people on both sides of the issue, actually. And so it's important discussion. No decisions have been made, but I look forward to a full and robust discussion. Just like as the Speaker of the Legislature, I always encourage strong participation, debate, passion inside the Assembly, and I wouldn't expect anything else from members of the community here in the Peace region when it comes to engaging on issues of importance with respect to provincial jurisdiction.
Comparison between your riding and the riding of Peace River. You've had a chance to explore a little bit, a lot of similarities between the two, differences?
Well, there's certainly a lot of similarities in terms of the good quality people that are here in the Peace region. We certainly don't have as much lumber and fiber, and I have a chance to tour over at Mercer this afternoon, and so really keen to learn about more to do with the forestry industry, but also like the great history and tradition that's in the Peace region, just like we have in Central Alberta, that is very different, but got a great chance, man. People of the community should be proud of the little museum here. We had a chance to stop by today. They do just such an incredible work, and there's so many really neat things that are happening here in the Peace region. And Olds, Didsbury, Three Hills, we share some of those similar agricultural ties, as that is our primary driver. But perhaps where you have a little bit more the economy focused on the forestry industry and timber, our sort of biggest piece of that puzzle is the agricultural sector.
No doubt about that. And I guess on this one, too, overall, how much longer? What other parts are you going to take through the north? And I guess we'll have the final question before we cut off and do our little unofficial, and I have to stress, very unofficial legislative session.
Yeah, you bet. So we were in Valley View and Grand Prairie yesterday. We're here in Peace River today. As I mentioned, we'll be in Rainbow Lake tomorrow, then Lacrete area, have an overnight in High Level, High Prairie, High Level, prior, then overnight in Lacrete, and then we're heading back to Edmonton via Slave Lake. And one of the things that's important to know, mm-hmm. and I'll try to keep it very brief, is as the speaker, I oversee the Legislative Assembly Office. The Legislative Assembly Office is a nonpartisan, arm's-length organization that delivers on our democracy. And so we have about 500 employees all across the province in about 95 different offices, and that would include like Dan's office here in Peace River in the mall. He also has another office in Lacrete. And so members of larger constituencies like this one, they may have multiple offices, but all those employees who work for the member, they actually work for the Legislative Assembly Office, right, because they provide services to folks no matter who they voted for, no matter who they supported. They make sure that they have access to our democracy. And so that's actually the other thing that I'm here for, is not just to talk about our democracy and freedom, justice, strength of our institution, but to meet with those constituency employees and find ways that the Legislative Assembly Office can better support them, so that we can better support Albertans in that.